This is a Pretty Tough Podcast.
All right, so hi, I'm talking with Natalie Coughlin, who is the most decorated female athlete of the 2008 and 2004 Olympics, and the first woman to win back-to-back gold medals in the same event in consecutive Olympics. She's also passionate about healthy eating and living and is currently training for the 2012 London Games. So, hi, Natalie, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Terrific. I wanted to start off and just ask you if you swam when you were a kid or played other sports.
Yes, I swam since I was an infant, and I started lessons of water safety issue when I was 8 months old, and then I joined the local swim team at six and have been competing ever since. I did gymnastics and some volleyball also, but swimming has been my number one sport for my whole life.
And so when exactly did you know that was going to be the competitive sport that you were going to pursue?
My parents always wanted me to be in sports and be dedicated to something, so that was always really important. I was six, and so was the 1988 Olympics, and me and my friends all said that we wanted to go to the Olympics, but we didn't really know what that really meant. And it wasn't until I was about 13 where I started actually show a lot of promise and the ability to perhaps try at making the Olympic team.
And was backstroke always your event?
No, I was actually a distance swimmer in high school. Like I did individual medley, so I did all the strokes and distance freestyle.
And what would you say the best piece of advice you received as a youth or a student athlete?
The best piece of advice, I guess the best piece of advice has come from my college coach, Terry McKeever. And it's really about, she's always focuses on the journey. She says, you know, she did her career throughout her career. She doesn't really remember her times or what she placed at this meet, but she remembers the journey and she remembers the experiences that she had with her college team, and she really tries to focus on the bigger picture, and I think that's really important in sport, is to just enjoy the entire process of aiming for a certain goal.
How about looking forward to 2012? What titles are you looking to defend, and what can you tell us about your game plan?
I really don't know. It's still 2 years away, and I'm training really hard, and I'm definitely working towards London. I want to add to my medal count. I have 11 now, and I would like to have a few more. But I really don't know whether it's going to be in the 100 back or the 100 free or the 200 IM or the 100 fly. Like, I really haven't gotten that far along my season or along my goal planning to really look at it. Like before Beijing Olympics, I didn't know I was going to do the 200 IM. I didn't decide to do the 200 IM until about 7 weeks out of the Olympic Games. And that kind of was one of those things where I ended up getting a bronze medal and I wasn't even considering doing that event. So that taught me that anything could happen and I have to keep my options open and just train as hard as I possibly can.
I noticed that you tweet a lot about food and recipes. What's your favorite meal to make and eat when you're in training? And I was wondering if you could follow that up with what your favorite culinary treat or indulgence is when you're not in training.
My indulgences really don't change whether I'm training or not. And I think that's something that is really important for people to keep in mind, that whether you're training to be an Olympic athlete or not, I'm eating the same. It's just portion size is quite different. I eat a lot more when I'm training versus when I'm not training. But I like all sorts of things. I like sweets. I like savory. I like, you know, rich foods. But I'm definitely more on the savory side. But, yeah, I love cooking. And so my partnership with the California Dried Plum Board has been awesome because I've gotten to develop tons of recipes and work with them, testing out some recipes, and it's something different than just swimming. So I actually have a bunch of recipes on CaliforniaDriedPlums.org, and one of my favorites right now is a Vietnamese banh mi. So it's a meatball that is sweetened with some plum puree, and it's in a sandwich with a spicy mayonnaise and daikon and pickled carrots, and it's a really delicious meal.
What's the most interesting trivia fact you can tell us about dried plums?
The most interesting trivia fact? Well, I think just how nutritious they are. Like, they taste like candy, and they're something that's portable. I always travel with them in my purse. I travel a ton, and everyone knows how hard it could be to get healthy food and snacks when you're on the road or at the airport. So there's something that's portable that's really nutritiously dense and considered a superfruit.
Good for, like, halftime or while you're competing, or better after a competition?
I just use them as a snack. Like, even before I started working with the dried plum board, I always had them in my fridge at swim meets. It was one of my go-to snacks. I just think it's something that is great. And it's also good for digestive health, because a lot of times when people travel, their digestive system gets kind of off its schedule. And so it's something to keep you on track, and it's really good for your digestive and your immune health.
I wanted to jump really quickly just to a couple pop culture questions. Were you prepared for all the attention that you got when you appeared on the primetime reality competition Dancing with the Stars?
Yes and no. It's interesting, because after the Olympics, like after 2004 and after 2008, you know, people had watched the Olympics, and so people recognized me all over the place. And then it starts to die down a little bit. Like, it's probably a month or two of people recognizing you everywhere, and then they start to move on to the next thing, which is actually a great thing, because the fame can be, you know, it's strange. So I was prepared from the Olympics and the attention from the Olympics with Dancing with the Stars, but it is funny when people will come up to you at the mall and they'll be like, "Oh, my God, I watched you dance last night. I hated your song choice." And so it's just funny, like, how opinionated people are with that show. They feel a lot more a part of it, I think, than Olympic competition, maybe.
I know that viewers felt that you and Alec were probably eliminated too early from the competition. And knowing how competitive that you are, what would you do, if anything, different if you had a second chance on that show?
Well, it's a weird thing, because it's half popular vote and half judges. And so there's a part of you, you just have to let go and kind of get rid of that competitive side, because there's just kind of this X factor and kind of luck of the draw and popularity thing that you really have no control over. But one thing I would change is just to be more like bigger, I guess, on camera. Like, a lot of times I was so focused on the training, and that was great because I learned so much from my partner, who was wonderful, but it was probably boring for the people to watch when you have that 2-3-4 minute intro period before your dance to see a boring package piece. So I guess to jazz those pieces up would have helped me a lot through the popular side of the competition, but it was honestly one of the best, most rewarding experiences. I had so much fun.
There's been some online chatter about you playing the role of Wonder Woman when it comes to television. In fact, on Women Talk Sports, we actually had several posts devoted to who should be cast in that role. I'm wondering whether you have any aspirations to pursue acting, and if that role in particular would be of interest to you.
I think that would be a really fun, interesting challenge. I really don't have any acting experience, but I think one of the most wonderful things about all of my success in the Olympics is that so many doors have been opened up for me, and I've had opportunities that I would have never dreamed about. So acting would definitely be exciting, and I would try it out if given the opportunity.
I know that you swam for Cal. What do you think of the Pac-10's move to Pac-12?
Oh, God, it's so strange to think that, that we're going to have two more teams and it's no longer going to be the Pac-10. It'll be interesting, and it'll take some getting used to, but I totally understand why we had to absorb the other teams into the Pac-12.
And looking back at your career, collegiate, Olympics, all of that, and looking at the history of female athletes, what do you think are some of the most significant sporting events? And what do you think it would take for women to get the same recognition and compensation as their male counterparts?
I'm not sure what it would take, but I know that slowly we're getting there. And fortunately, I'm an Olympic athlete, and in Olympic competition, women get almost as much press as they do, as the males do. And women get a lot more coverage during the Olympics than any other Olympic or any other sporting event. So I'm very fortunate in that regard.
And so I just wanted to finish off with a question, which is targeted towards some of our younger listeners on a site that we run called Pretty Tough. And I wanted to know whether you consider yourself pretty tough and why or why not.
Yes, I would consider myself pretty tough. Just growing up, I think my sport is so difficult. You know, I trained 5-6 hours a day every day, Saturdays included, my whole life. I was getting up at 4 a.m. when I was in high school and still going to school and getting good grades, and I've swum through injuries and yeah, I would consider myself tough, and more than anything, I think I'm stubborn, and so that makes me tough.
And just on a real personal note, I wanted to end with the question, when you're on vacation, can you ever just lie by the pool?
No, I don't know what to do. I like lying by the pool, but I would never get in the pool when I'm on vacation because I don't know how to play in a pool. But I do love body surfing and swimming in the ocean. I think that's quite different. But if it's just a straight up pool, you'll see me laying by the side and just tanning because I don't know what to do.
Interesting. All right. Well, I want to really thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us, and look forward to watching what happens over the next 2 years.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, Natalie.
Okay. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
This is a Pretty Tough Podcast.